Okay, today I'm in St Ives, Cambridgeshire, with Tim Moore, the Managing Director of the AGT, which is the Administration of Gambling on Tracks. Thanks very much for agreeing to do this, Tim. Can you give people watching this an idea of what exactly your company do?
Well, we're an independent company and we're contracted to each of the 60 British racecourses to administer the racecourse bookmakers. So, effectively, we make sure that everything's in order with the bookmakers and in the betting rings around the country.
Okay, how long have you been going? What's the history of the organisation?
Well, the company started in 1998, was then titled the National Joint Pitch Council, or NJPC as everybody knew it. And what had happened was the bookmakers had run their own administration for quite some time under a scheme called the Ferguson Agreement. But for whatever reason, that wasn't working out, and the racecourses and the bookmakers couldn't agree that that was the way forward. So the racecourses gave 1 year's notice for the Ferguson Agreement to be ended. That was in 1997. So in 1998, there was a need for another body to come in to take over the administration of the pitches on the racecourse. And the levy board at the time could see that the job needed doing, so they created this body called the NJPC, and we came, our first day of operation was October the 8th, 1998.
So were the bookmakers happy about that?
Generally not particularly happy, no, not at the time. There was a period, and it's understandable really, that they, or some of them at least, were slightly resentful of this new body coming in, this new policing body, I guess, which was overseeing the betting ring. And they thought perhaps that we didn't know what we were doing and we were too inexperienced. And so there was a steep learning curve in those early days. And there was a little bit of resentment from some bookmakers. But we soon got around that, got over that. The bookmakers came to realise that that we knew what we were doing. And the relationship now is one of mutual respect, really.
So what's your personal background in the racing?
Well, 1984 I joined Ladbrokes to work in the High Street, and I joined as a trainee manager and went through the training program and soon became a manager and worked my way up the ladder from there. I was there for 14 and a half years until 1998 when I saw the job on course advertised for the NJPC. And I thought I'd give it a go, and fortunately I was selected through the interview process.
I must admit, I didn't realise that the NJPC actually just morphed into AGT. When did that happen?
That happened in 2008, because what happened, one of the main things that occurred in the last 15 years or so was the implementation of the Gambling Act, which came into being on the 1st of September 2007. When that happened, the NJPC changed in its basics, if you like, because they had always operated under the auspices of the National Pitch Rules, which were governed by the Levy Board. So, in effect, the Levy Board forced racecourses and bookmakers to work under the National Pitch Rules. And one of the parts of that was that the NJPC would do the enforcement. When 2007 and the Gambling Act came along, the National Pitch Rules became defunct, and so the whole system had to be changed over, and the racecourses needed to put into place a new set of rules, if you like, that needed to govern on-course activity. So they did that, and part of that process was that AGT morphed out of the ashes of the NJPC. So the company has never had a break in its service, if you like, but we just changed name in 2008.
Well, the most visible sign of the AGT to race goers as opposed to bookmakers would be the betting ring manager. What would be the daily routine routine and role of a veterinary manager on race day?
Yeah, well, we send a veterinary manager to every single race meeting in Britain through the year, so that's around 1,450 race meetings. And there's at least one BRM, as we call them there. Sometimes it's more than one. I mean, at Epsom and Aintree, for instance, there would be seven veterinary managers. Cheltenham and Royal Ascot, there's five every day, so that, you know, we have to staff up, if you like, to make sure that the job's done properly. But I suppose really through the day, the BRM would be overseeing the betting rings, making sure everything's in order, making sure the bookmakers are doing what they should be doing. And I guess their first job of the day would be to actually pitch the bookmakers in, because for inexperienced race goers, they perhaps look around a betting ring and think that bookmakers just stand wherever they want, or perhaps the bookmakers first come, first served. But it's not like that. Each betting ring has its own bookmakers list, which is effectively a list from one to whatever number of the bookmakers who are allowed to stand in that betting ring. And what the betting ring manager does at the pitch allocation time, which is generally an hour before the first race, he would say to number one, or she would say to number one on the list, where do you want to go? And of course, that can be different every day, because some bookmakers, even if you're number one, you might say on the Friday you might want to go opposite the double door entrance to the grandstand because of the traffic flow and the number of people there. But on the Saturday they might want to go on the end of the line where there's a bar and that's very busy. So effectively the pick number entitles them to choose a pitch. So number one can choose wherever they want to go, number two can choose anywhere else that's still free after number one's taken his pick, and so on and so forth.
So that would be the big huddle of bookmakers that people would have seen before racing, and that's what's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. All the bookmakers are looking at the pitches that are still available, thinking where they want to go, and choosing their pitch.
Okay, so how many betting managers do you employ overall?
We have six full-time veterinary managers who are dotted throughout the country, obviously to look after the racing programme, and we've got 17 part-time veterinary managers who step in and help out for holidays and busy periods, particularly summer racing when there can be up to eight race meetings a day, and some of them require more than one veterinary manager, so you know it can be quite a big operation to get people to the tracks.
And is there a type of background you look for when employing a veterinary manager?
Yeah, ideally they must have some betting knowledge, of course. But the main thing is they need to have something about them which means that they have an authoritative status, if you like. So they need to be able to come into a situation, obviously we're dealing with potentially tricky situations on the race course where bookmakers and race goers are disagreeing about the returns on a bet. We need somebody who can step in there. They're independent, they work for the race courses, not for the bookmakers, so they step in there and they can independently adjudicate on any disputes and deal with any problems that surface in the betting room.
So what would the most common dispute be?
There are quite a few areas you might look at here. One of them would be where a wrong ticket's been issued by a bookmaker, which is very, very rare, but it does happen. So for instance, if you as a customer have tried to back number four and the bookmaker's given you a ticket for number three, then that can cause a problem, because obviously you're holding a ticket which isn't the horse that you wanted to back. So that will lead to the customer going to the bookmaker saying, I want my returns, and there can be a problem there. So the ring manager would step in and adjudicate on that sort of thing. But I would say to those of you who are inexperienced race goers, please check your ticket, because these mistakes do happen. They're not deliberate. The bookmaker doesn't know what's going to win the race, so there can be no feeling that it's being done deliberately. But what we find is that some people take the ticket and they just put it in their pockets and never look at it. Now, if you look at that ticket when you've placed the bet, if you see it's on the wrong horse or it's got the wrong stake or any of the wrong details on it, if you tell the bookmaker immediately, it can be so easily sorted. But if you leave it until after the race, it becomes a lot more tricky.
So how often in a day would your BRM be expected to be called upon?
Probably 4 or 5 times a day between the different types of dispute. The other common one, which isn't a dispute, it's just a procedural matter, is that people lose their tickets. And that in itself can be a problem, because if you put your ticket down, let's say you're distracted, you put it down on the bar or on the table where you're sat, or you drop it on the floor, it can be picked up by somebody else and they can try and claim that ticket before you even realise you've lost it. So you could go to the bookmaker as a customer with a lost ticket, say I've had £10 at 9-2, and they say, well, I've only got one £10 at 9-2 and I've already paid it out. So that can be a problem as well that the BRMs would deal with.
So is the onus on you to treat that ticket like money before the race?
Absolutely, yeah. Please hang on to your tickets. It's a very important part of your race day. You don't want things to be spoiled by having a winning bet which you can't collect on.
What's the most common mistake that a novice race goer punter might make?
I think probably the most obvious one is the failure to recognise that two stakes are needed when you're betting each way. So an each way bet, if you have a pound each way, actually costs you £2. It's not just £1, because you're betting £1 to win and £1 to place. In effect, you've got two different bets on which you're selecting your horse. So you need to pay double for an each way bet.
And how often would it be that it's a punt? What percentage would it be punter or bookmaker that's made a mistake?
I would say it's a bit of both. Probably marginally more customers make mistakes. The other thing that some inexperienced customers do would be to look at the odds and mistake that for the number of the horse. So a horse which is 4-1, for instance, or number 4, and they look at the wrong side of the bookmaker's board and they say the name of the horse based on the odds rather than the number, which can cause a problem. But of course, everybody tries to make out the betting ring's a complicated place. It's commonly called a jungle. It's shrouded in mystery. It's painted as something which is very, very tricky for the novice race goer to understand. Now, I'd like to debunk that myth. I just can't subscribe to that at all. It's very, very simple. The type of betting that bookmakers offer is the simplest form of betting you can ever have. It's just win betting and each way betting for 99% of the time. You can get other bets, betting without favourites or distance betting or all sorts of weird and wonderful things, but that's relatively rare. Win and each way betting, very, very simple. And if you're a novice race goer, you just need to remember, if you want to back number 2 and have £5 to win, it's as simple as going to the bookmaker and saying, number 2, £5 win. It's no more difficult than that. It's very, very easy to bet in the betting ring. And I think that's a message which we need to get across to people, because people like to bet with bookmakers. It's a little, adds a little of colour to their day, shall we say, when they go racing, that they've gone into the betting ring, they've got this ticket paid out in cash, which of course people like to feel cash in their hands. And it's good fun going to have a bet, within reason, betting responsibly, of course. And it's very, very simple. Don't think it's difficult, because it's really not.
Okay, so you've mentioned that it's actually quite easy and it's not really a daunting place for a novice punter when they come racing, rather than bet with the total, whatever, get involved with the bookies. What would be a little bit of advice you would give the novice punter when betting with the racecourse bookies?
Well, I think you need to look for value. So don't just go to the first bookmaker that you see. always shop around, just as you would in any walk of life, shop around for the best deal for yourself. So if you see a bookmaker that's the nearest one to you is offering 5-1, have a look at the board next door, it might be 6-1. You don't know these things. It's always worth checking, and of course the bigger the odds you get, the bigger the return you get on your bet if and when you win. So I think that's an important thing to bear in mind.
And what would be the biggest do's and don'ts for a novice punter?
Well, the biggest do is be very careful when you're placing your bets. Make sure that you speak to the bookmaker clearly, and you listen to the read back, which is in effect the bookmaker telling the clerk what the bet is. And then importantly, check your ticket. I've mentioned this before, but please do check your ticket to make sure that all the details are correct. That's a very important thing. And then hang on to your ticket until the weighed-in announcement has been made on the racecourse. Because even if your horse comes second, then just sometimes there's a steward's inquiry, your stewards look into the race and the horse can be promoted from second to first or fourth to third or whatever it may be. And your bet, from being a loser, all of a sudden becomes a winner. And it's very difficult it's not impossible, but it makes it more difficult to claim if your bet is screwed up and in a bin or ripped up and on the floor.
Okay, there's been a bit of talk recently because the betting ring appears to be less busy, especially at midweek meetings, than it was back 20 years ago or what have you. We were talking previously off camera and you have a few ideas that maybe bookmakers are sort of trying up their game a bit. Do you want to tell us a bit about them?
I was looking at some statistics on the Gambling Commission's website actually earlier on. And I saw that in 2008, the on-course horse race turnover was 279 million. And in 2017 was 228 million. So that's a decrease of 18.3% over the last 10 years up until last year. And if you take into account inflation, that's down in real terms by 38%. So turnover down 38% in 10 years for the on-course bookmakers. That's an illustration of how tough it is out there, and in particular at the, as you say, the midweek meetings. Quite a few bookmakers still attend. Bookmaker attendances are not going down, despite what some people may think. There's around 42,000 bookmaker attendances every year, and that's been constant for 3 or 4 years. So it is tough out there for the bookmakers, and they're chasing a reducing amount of turnover. I think, as I said earlier, one of the important things is to somehow get across to people that it's not difficult to bet in the bettering. It's not scary. Bookmakers are not scary people. This is the image put around, if you like. It's the stereotypical image of the adversarial nature of the relationship between bookmaker and customer, where the bookmaker wants to win every penny that the customer's staking with him, and the customer's desperate to have one over on the bookmaker. I can understand why it exists. I don't see the need for that level of adversity in the relationship between bookmaker and punter. The fact of the matter is that punters do have to win, because if bookmakers retained all of the stakes, then nobody would ever bet with them. So punters do have to win. I think bookmakers pay them out with a smile. It's a much more welcoming place in the betting ring these days. There's a lot more ladies who are working the betting ring, for instance, and that makes it more welcoming, I think, from a customer point of view. And bookmakers do try to offer good service. It's not the days when bookmakers would growl at people, and I'm sure it might happen once in a blue moon from time to time, but those days have gone. It's a friendly place to be, and it's a place where you can enjoy your race day more.
Okay, so the main visible job for the BRM is to deal with any unlikely event of any dispute. How often is it that he actually gets the impression that either party, the bookmaker or the punter, is actually trying it on?
Thankfully, it's very, very rare. I don't think anybody intends to try it on. I don't think anybody truly means to take advantage of the other party. Bookmakers, in my experience, are honourable people, and they're just trying to run a decent, honest business. Most of them are just small family businesses, and they run them with integrity. We do find occasionally that that customers will have a ticket that says, for instance, £202 each way, when they've actually probably only had £2 each way, or possibly £20 each way. And that's what we call elephant thumbs syndrome, where the bookmaker has put the bet into the computer, they've caught the wrong key on the computer, and they've caught the 2 at the same time as the 20, so they've made £202 each way. And, you know, we often, well, not often, but we occasionally see those coming up as a dispute, where the customer would come up and say he had £200 each way for himself and £2 each way for his wife, for instance. That would be a common thing. And generally they send somebody else up to collect these tickets. So the ring managers are quite wise to these things. And of course it is it's a bit naughty of the customers to do that. Thankfully it's very rare. You know, we record the number of disputes that we have each day at the races, bearing in mind there's probably 30 million bets placed per annum, so 600,000 bets placed per week on average. The number of disputes, the number of problems is minuscule compared to that overall total. So I think that's evidence in itself that neither party is trying to do anything untoward.
When you do get the odd occasion that a punter is obviously trying it on and he's digging his heels in and he won't let it go, I mean, strictly speaking, that's fraud. Would it ever be escalated and the police called?
Yeah, sometimes the ring managers will call the police if there are any police on the racecourse, or they'll call security and tell the customer that they're going to be reported to the police. It is obtaining money by deception or something along those lines to try and claim winnings that aren't yours. But as I say, it happens very, very rarely, so it's not something that would happen on a daily basis by any means.
We've already mentioned that bookmakers by nature are honest, honourable people, but have there ever any been any bad eggs that have sort of lost their pitches or been asked to leave for any misdemeanours?
No, I think people have made mistakes. Most of the time, for instance, offering the wrong place terms would have been a common thing which the betting managers would have spotted in the betting ring. So going a fifth, 1, 2, 3 instead of a quarter, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 1, 2, a fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it may be. So there have been people who've made mistakes, but I think after investigation, those mistakes have been found to be honest mistakes. So yes, some bookmakers have been reprimanded for going against the rules, if you like, for breaching the regulations, but it's very, very rare. It's probably 2 or 3 over the last 5 years, I would say.
Okay, so these days it's a fairly high-tech environment, at least it looks it on the race course, compared to even when I started in the late 80s, they were still using the same techniques as they had done for 100 years. So bookmakers have embraced technology to a certain extent, but I think you've got a few ideas what they could be doing, you'd like to see them do in the future.
Well, of course, back in 1998, when the NJPC took over, everybody used a ledger and a pencil, if you like, and they marked up their odds on a chalkboard. What happened in those early days of the NJPC were a number of changes were driven through. And that included computerisation of the betting ring, because It was felt that issuing a receipt with all the details of the name of the horse, the odds, the stake, the potential return, all of those crucial details, it's a lot easier for the customer to see what they've had than back in the days when they were given a card, which of course didn't contain any of those specific receipt details. So lots of those things were driven through at the time, and from computerizing the operation came the LED boards, which you'll see now commonly on every race course, on every pitch near enough, where the bookmakers could display the odds via the computer, via this shiny board, if you like. And that, of course, again, that's evolving, because there is now, if you go racing regularly, you'll perhaps see them. There are new types of board which offer different functionality. They're more interactive. You can get shapes and videos and that sort of thing on them. And I think that sort of progression will happen organically over the next few years. But the thing that concerns me is that, and I'm no longer young, unfortunately, but it seems that young people increasingly favour a cashless society. And of course, most of the business in the betting ring is done in cash. Sometimes when you go racing on a premier race day, the queue for the cash machine is 50, 60 yards long, because people just don't go around, or young people don't go around with cash anymore. So they get to the race course and all of a sudden they realise that they need cash to bet with most bookmakers. Some bookmakers are starting to have debit card machines and debit card capabilities, but at the moment it's awfully slow to process that, and some of the banks aren't very easy to tie down in terms of getting those agreements set up. So what I'd like to see, and it's easy for me to say and not easy for anybody to do, I'd love to see perhaps an app, maybe an on-course app that customers could load up on their phone before they go racing. They could put a sum of money into their account and then somehow flash their phone under some sort of reader on the bookmaker's joint. It would be instant, it would be quick. They would say, you know, number two, £20, flash the phone and £20 is taken from their account. And if it wins, they could take the phone up and flash the phone under again, and the winnings would be added to their account, or perhaps they could be paid in cash if they prefer. And I think that sort of thing, it's not going to happen in the next year. It might not happen in the next couple of years, but I just can't see it not happening in the next 20 or 30 years. And I always think if you can see something on the horizon, it's best to deal with it now rather than waiting for that horizon to get ever closer. And I appreciate for the bookmakers out there, this is not easy. It requires investment of money. It requires somebody to manage the project. It requires somebody to oversee it. It's not easy, and I'm not suggesting it is, but I do think that sort of thing is a thought for the future.
Okay, you need to send your boys for some new training then, if all that comes in. So what would be, as a final thing, what would be the best thing about when you go off on the race course? I know you're at the sharp end as well. What is the best thing about your job?
Well, no 2 days are the same. It's great dealing with, we have lots of good contacts with the race courses. We work very closely with the race courses to make sure that that everything's in order on their tracks on the day. We work with the bookmakers as well to make sure that everything's working well. Liaise with the people at the Gambling Commission who in the betting team, who are very professional and always very capable of helping with issues. And it's just a varied job where you can get on in your own time, in your own way, and there's a mutual respect, I think, between all parties.
Brilliant. Tim Moore, thank you very much.
Thank you.
follow our top sporting brand ambassadors Davy Russell, Sylvester D'Souza and Ryan Sidebottom for their exclusive news, views and tips on all the major events with blogs and vlogs at starsportsbet.co.uk, begambleaware.org. Over 18 only.